on the way to Jerusalem, Jesus was going through the region between Samaria and Galilee. As he entered a village, 10 men with a skin disease approached him. Keeping their distance, they called out saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were made clean. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. He prostrated himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus asked, "Were not 10 made clean? So where are the other 9? Did none of them return to give glory to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Get up and go on your way. Your faith has made you well." The time of Martin Luther, the 16th century, was a time of intense change, religiously, politically, and morally. One of the great changes was worship. Luther was once asked to give a general definition of worship. His answer, the 10th leper. Today we have a healing story. But according to Martin Luther, we also have a worship story. This healing story is different from most of the healing stories that we hear. Jesus doesn't heal the lepers on the spot. He sends them off to the temple, to the priests, who would certify them as healed, and they're healed on the way. Now, the context of this story, I think, is very important. Luke, the storyteller, set the scene at the beginning of today's reading by reminding us that Jesus was on the way to Jerusalem. And these 10 lepers were sent on their way to Jerusalem. This story reminds us that as we're on our way, as we live our lives on the way, healing often is gradual. Healing takes time. We get sick on our journey. We get injured on a journey. And on the way, we experience healing. Notice the wording about the 10th leper. He saw that he was healed. He turned back praising God. And this, according to Luther, is a summary of worship. We recognize God's healing. And we return. We turn back to the source of our healing. And there, at the feet of Jesus, we give thanks to God. Luke mentions Samaritans 3 times in his gospel story. The first time that Samaritans are mentioned, they were not put in a good light. They did not receive Jesus. In fact, 2 of the apostles, James and John, suggested that fire be sent down to destroy those unbelieving pagan Samaritans. But of course, Jesus would have none of that. And then the second time Luke brings up the Samaritans is the story of the good Samaritan, the one who took care of the injured man on the road to Jericho. And today's the third time. It was the Samaritan, the 10th leper, who returned to give thanks. Notice the progress. Samaritans didn't know who Jesus was. They rejected him. But then they did good work. The ministry of Jesus himself, of healing and caring and compassion and love. And then the Samaritans come and worship Jesus. There's no greater progression than that. Not to believe, to do good in the world, and then to recognize that it's Jesus that we come to give thanks for. No wonder Jesus rejected the fire and brimstone of James and John. The question that Jesus asks always fascinates me. Where are the other nine that were healed? Where are they? But notice, Jesus didn't condemn them. He didn't command that fire and brimstone come upon those other nine. He asked where they were. He wondered where they were. Now, I've heard such a question many times as in my years as a pastor. Where are they? Where are those ones who have been healed? Why aren't they in worship to give thanks to God? Where are the others? And sadly, very sadly, when I hear such a question asked, it's often in the context of being condemning and judging. That is not the way of Jesus. Now, it's really impossible to understand this story today without understanding the context that the 10th leper was a Samaritan. The people of Jesus' day could hardly say the word Samaritan without spitting it, the name out. They hated each other. And Jesus referred to this 10th healed leper as a foreigner. A foreigner. Now, the Greek word here is allogenes. That word, allogenes, that Jesus uses, appears only one time in the New Testament. Here. Allogenes, a foreigner, returns. Now, Jesus spoke Aramaic, but that Greek word, allogenes, was widely known in his day because in the temple, there was an inscription in stone. It was a keep out sign. The actual sign was discovered in 1871. In Greek and in Latin, on that sign, carved into stone, it said that foreigners, allogenes, were not allowed in the temple. And the consequence of them being in the temple was death. No wonder the 10th leper turned around. He had just been healed from a life that was close to death itself. Why would he enter a temple where the consequence of being there was death? I believe that Jesus knew where the other 10 were. They were at the temple. He'd instructed them to go there. I think the other 9 were in the temple praising God and giving thanks to God. But they didn't return to Jesus. They didn't recognize that the Savior, the Son of God, was the one who healed them. They didn't return to him to give thanks. Jesus was giving a new message here in this story, in this healing. And it's the message that got him killed. That Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus is the Messiah. And to worship God means to be in the presence of Jesus. When you are in the presence of Jesus, you are in the presence of God. And so we give thanks to God. We give thanks to the Son of God. The 10th leper gave thanks to Jesus. Now, there's another very important Greek word here in this story that's not used that often. As the 10th leper fell at the feet of Jesus, Luke tells us he gave thanks. Eucharisteo is the word. Eucharisteo. We sometimes call our gathering at Holy Communion the Eucharist. It comes from that Greek word. This word appears twice in the Last Supper. Jesus took bread and Eucharisteo gave thanks. Jesus took the cup and Eucharisteo, gave thanks. The 10th leper comes and kneels before Jesus and Eucharisteo, gave thanks. This is worship for us. We see what God has done. We come to worship and we come to give thanks, and we receive the bread and the cup in thanksgiving. No one is excluded from the meal. Foreigners, alogenes, outcasts, lepers, sinners of all kinds are invited to worship, are invited to this meal, this Eucharisteo, to give thanks for what God has done. Now, when I hear this question, where are the other nine? It reminds me that sometimes it's not easy to recognize the gifts of God. It's not easy all the time to recognize, oh, this is from God. This healing is from God. God is with me. God is loving me. God is caring for me. I can distinctly remember a lunch that Joe and I had in a small hometown restaurant in Ohio. It was a weekday afternoon, and it was over 35 years ago, but I remember that meal. We were going through a rough patch. We'd served in a new congregation. We were there for 3 years. But because of my background as a Roman Catholic priest, there were a flood of complaints and criticisms. They were just rolling in at this time. It was overwhelming, saddening. And at lunch that day, Joe and I were talking about all of these problems. We were listing all of the negatives. And as we ate, I had an idea, which of course was from the Holy Spirit. I took my simple, plain white placemat and said to Joe, let's list the positives of our ministry in the last 3 years. No negatives allowed on this placemat. And we started to brainstorm what had happened to us, what God had done for and with us and through us in the last 3 years. We filled both sides of that placemat. And there was only one conclusion at the end of that meal that began with negatives and began with pain. There was only one conclusion at that meal: thanks be to God. That was a good lunch with an unexpected result. To this day, I call it placemat therapy. By listing all of the good things that God does in our lives, even in the midst of negatives and in the midst of troubles and struggles, listing the positives that God is doing, listing all that is good that is going on, ends in gratitude. We counted our blessings that day, and we said out loud, thanks be to God. This is what followers of Jesus do. And I think that we desperately need placemat therapy in our world today. We live in a world, in a culture of complaint, in a culture of criticism. We live in a culture of division. There's not enough Eucharisteo. There's not enough giving thanks. Jesus is calling us today to Eucharisteo, to give thanks. He was about to suffer and die. Thursday night, Eucharisteo, he was giving thanks when he took the bread and the cup. He was about to suffer and die. And he brought Eucharisteo to the meal, his very presence to the meal, and asks us that whatever we're going through, whatever our lives is, Eucharisteo, give thanks. Look at what God is doing. whatever you're going through, whatever healing you need, whatever negatives you're facing, eucharisteo, give thanks. We are here today to give thanks. We're here today to be healed, and we're here today to give thanks. We're here today to give thanks again and again, and God knows there's a lot to be thankful for. Let us pray. When I begin these prayers, I often ask you to think about all the troubles and all the pains that are going on in the world and in your lives. Now I ask you to think about all the good things that are happening in the world today. Think of the positives. Bring the positives to your mind and into your heart. Look at all the good and the beauty that's going on. And believe in faith that God is with us in this world. Believe that God is healing us in our world. Believe that God sends Jesus to heal us for such a time as this. And as you think of all these good things, as all these good things that God is doing come to your mind, listen. Listen to the voice of Jesus. Your faith makes you well. God makes you well. Jesus says, I make you well.